It's great to be here. I, along with Pastor JP and the teaching pastors of your church, we are super excited about this series. This series, if you participated in a full way, it's going to change your life forever. Everybody say forever. Forever, yeah. It's going to change your life forever. Why? Because you're with the people of God. We're going to be looking at the Word of God, and we're going to be talking about what's most important to God, which is your faith. And I don't know about you, but are you like me? Does God use weird things to talk to you? Anybody? Like, use weird kind of like you see, like, okay, some of you are sign people, like, that was a sign, okay? I'm not quite in the, this was a sign from God, like, category. But I do keep my eyes open for things that are happening and things that I see with my eyes, and I'm giving God room to talk to me. So pre-COVID, I'm at the gym. There's a gal standing there with a gym bag, and on the side of the gym bag, it says, "See what happens when you don't give up." And I'm standing there to her side, and I'm looking at that, and God's talking to me. God's speaking to me through a gym bag, waiting with a complete stranger, and it says, "See what happens when you don't give up." And the reason why it resonated with me, and the reason why I felt like God was using a gym bag with a little message on the side to talk to me, because we all have hopes. And we all have promises made to us, and we all want those hopes realized and those promises fulfilled. Amen? Yet those hopes and those promises, sometimes they feel attacked, and we have feelings when our hope gets attacked, right? We kind of feel like cashing it in. We feel like, well, that really wasn't the dream. That really wasn't the hope. And then we have to make a choice. We got to make a choice when we have a hope and that hope gets attacked by whatever, and then we have some feelings, and then we have to make a choice whether we're going to hang in there or whether we're going to give up. And so when I saw that bag, I thought, man, that really resonates with me, because at that point in my life, there were some things happening in my life where there's big hopes that I have, but those hopes, because of factors, those silly factors of fears and facts and time and God's not wearing my watch, those factors are attacking my hope. And now I got to make a choice whether or not, do I give up on the promise or do I hold on to the promise? And you see, that's what this series over the next 5 weeks is really all about. You see, when the going gets tough, no, the tough make a choice. Ha, gotcha. All these quote people were like, the tough get going. Well, no, yeah, the tough have to make a choice before they get going. The tough make a choice, and Jesus said that the going is going to get tough on earth. And a lot of times, if you're like me, I'm tempted to use tough times as a cover to quit, or as a cover to say, well, that's just not God's will for me, or as a cover for making a selfish choice, or as a cover for maybe not believing the promise that God has given me. Can I tell you something? That is not God's plan for when the going gets tough. God's plan is never to run away from a problem or to use a problem or tough times as a cover to quit, as a cover to kind of assign that to God's will, that it's not God's will, or as a cover to make a selfish choice, or as a cover to not believe. Instead, when God makes a promise, he's a fulfiller of his promise. Now, it may not be on your time, amen, God doesn't wear our watch, but God's a fulfiller of promises, and those promises are supposed to give us hope. And instead of adversity in the midst of disciplining yourself toward your hope, instead of taking that as a sign that somehow God is absent or apathetic or he's unable to fulfill that, Jesus said the going will get tough. He said, in this world you will have tribulation. But let's finish that sentence. But take courage, I have overcome the world. Everybody say, take courage. In the next 5 weeks, if you show up here on Sundays, and if you're in this workbook doing the daily devotionals, and if you're meeting in community, guess what you get to receive? Courage. And right now, in our world, there is a need for people of courage who believe in a courageous God who did a courageous thing to send his son to give hope in the middle of tough times and to deliver on his promise in your life. So if you want maximum courage, you need maximum participation. Come on Sundays. Pick up a workbook. Read the daily devotionals. They're amazing. We're going on a journey into courage and faith, and then get into a community group, whether it's on Zoom or in a backyard. Ours is going to meet in a backyard, socially distanced. Let's, in faith, participate fully so that we can take courage into our hearts from Jesus. So that's why we're excited about this series. Now, we're gonna hold up a person in this next 5 weeks. His name is Abraham. And Abraham in the Bible is sort of the father of faith. You know, in God's dictionary, next to faith, there's a little icon of Abraham, right? Because God made him a gigantic promise, right? In Genesis 15, God says to Abraham, see those stars up there? Try to count them all. You probably can't even count them all. But that's going to be you. You're going to be the father of many nations, so shall your offspring be. Meaning that in a spiritual sense, that he was going to give birth to a community of God's people, and that community was going to extend through God's redemptive plan through Jesus Christ, and it was going to reach every nation. So God had given Abraham a promise. Now, just like you and I, when you get a big promise, right, you want that promise to happen. But then the talk and the tick and the time starts passing. And then with every day, with every week, with every month, with every year that goes by, you begin to wonder, was that really God? Did he really talk to me? Did he really make that promise? And we see Abraham in Romans chapter 4. So if you have a Bible, you might want to turn to Romans chapter 4. We see Abraham. We get this little vignette of how a man's hope was attacked, and yet he held on. The going got tough, but the tough made a choice, and this man of God made a choice to continue to believe in God. This is what the Bible says in Romans chapter 4. It says, against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, and so became the father of many nations. Just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be, without weakening in his faith. He faced the fact that his body was as good as dead since he, get this, was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Key word, yet. He did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God. Let's finish it together. Being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he promised. Amen? This is our journey. What I love about Abraham is just a guy. He's just a normal person who was given an amazing promise, and then his commitment to God was tested by time. And we see a few things in here that we can glean that is true of us, just like it was true of Abraham. Number one, we see that hope gets attacked. Hope gets attacked. Our series is Faith Against All Hope. That word against means that there's pressure coming against the hope. Whatever it is that you're hoping for is going to be attacked. And it can be attacked by the facts that we see. Don't you notice that Abraham faced the fact that his body was as good as dead? Now, that's as faith-filled as it is humorous, okay? But Abraham faced the facts. And can I just say something? Facing the facts doesn't mean you lack faith. Abraham faced the facts, but he faced the facts with faith. Secondly, his hope, after being attacked, his hope was attached. Every person who has hope, right, has their hope attached to something, a promise, a person, an end game, some result, some product, right? His hope was attached. Who was his hope attached to? It was attached to God. Right? God's person, God's character, right? Who he knew God to be. So his hope was attacked by the fact that his body was dead, by the fact that time had passed from when the promise was given to its yet fulfillment. It was attacked by the fear that the facts and the time was creating, probably. And yet, then when he focused on God, who the hope was attached to, that's when things started to change. God was the one who made the promise. God was the one who spoke. You see, if you make me a promise, it's different than if God makes me a promise. Amen? Yeah, because you can probably bail out. You can send me a text and say, oh, sorry, I couldn't come. All right? But when God makes a promise, he's a promise keeper. All right? And then third, you see hope accelerated. So it's attacked. Hope is attacked. Hope is attached to God. But then because his hope is attached to God, his hope in the absence of the answer actually accelerates. Now that's faith. That's like knowing who someone is. It's sort of like, yeah, I know what I see. I know what's going on. But I know who made the promise, and he's fully able. I'm fully persuaded. Everybody say fully persuaded. Fully persuaded. I'm fully persuaded that he's able to perform that which he promises. Now, clearly it wasn't on Abraham's timeline, but was God going to perform what he promised? You betcha he was, right? So God's a promise maker. God's a promise keeper. God's a promise deliverer. What do you do? Well, we're going to do over the next 5 weeks what Abraham did. I know there's some facts in your life that you would just rather not face. There's some facts in my life. There's some things that are unplanned and unwelcomed in my life right now that I would have never planned. But I can face the facts, and I can face them in faith, and I can attach my hope to God, and my faith in the next 5 weeks can be accelerated and strengthened. Why? Because of the person I'm attaching my hope to. And I hope, as you're watching there at home or online, or if you're here at Crossline, that your faith is going to attach to Jesus Christ. You see, it's a fight to finish in faith. Can I get an amen? It's a fight because your hope gets attacked. Circumstances happen. Things, you know, time passes. Losses occur. Okay? I know them well. And we see that Abraham wasn't the first person. In fact, every person in the Bible, God makes a promise to, has that promise and that hope attached to the promise, attacked. Well, in the New Testament, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, we see the Apostle Paul, who is just a regular guy like me and you who knows God, fighting for his finish in faith. He says this, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now, key word, there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. Not only to me, let's finish it together, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. What do we see? We see that faith is a fight. Everybody say that with me. Faith is a fight. Yeah, so if you're here or you're watching online and you're battling to hang on to the promises of God, or you're battling to believe, or maybe you're not even a believer yet and you're just questioning this whole God thing and you're kind of trying to reconcile circumstances and injustices and the things that you see with the person and promise of God, right? Welcome to the club. Welcome to the club. What we see in Paul is that faith is a fight, but keeping faith, which is what Paul says, I fought the good fight, I finished the race. So he's fighting the good fight, but now he's finishing the race. Just imagine sitting in a stinky, musty Roman prison cell as you write these words. So on the other side, within a short period of time, Paul's fight is finished. And he has kept the what? The faith. He's kept the faith, right? And look at what he says next. Now, okay, so here's hope fulfilled. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness. And so we see that keeping faith requires a focus and a perspective and a hope. Paul's hope, after he fought his good fight and he finished the course and he kept the faith, there was this promise that God was going to reward him. And we see the connection between Paul's hope and his discipline in the now. Can I just tell you something? On this 5-week journey, we're going to connect hope and discipline. All right? We have a hope. We have a promise from God. We have a future in God. He makes promises. They're like blank checks that we get to cash. But it's a fight in the midst of what you see and what you feel, to hang on to those promises. And we have to discipline ourselves in the direction of his hope. So Paul right here, he's going, guess what? I've hung on. I wanted to see what happened if I didn't give up. And now I'm going to see what happens. Can I just encourage you, and especially those of you at home, if you're hanging on to something, don't give up, especially if you've got a promise from God, if you've got a word from God, if you have promises from God here, you keep hanging on to those hopes because you don't want to miss what happens. But you will miss what happens if you give up. So what we're going to do is we're just going to talk about how faith, the process of faith, and then we're going to talk about what happens if you don't give up, and then we're going to talk about just three simple things that we can do that demonstrate to God and to ourselves that we're not giving up on faith. But let's look at this next section. If you have a Bible, you want to turn to Romans chapter 5, but we're going to look at kind of the faith process. How many of you are like me? When you enter into any journey, you want to realize the outcome as soon as possible. Anybody like me? Yeah, I am that. I'm an activator. I'm a doer. I'm an executor. That doesn't always go with my faith process. Amen? All you doers out there, right? All you, man, let's go. Let's get it done. Let's see that result. Let's come on. Let's get on it. All right? That has built a lot of faith in me. But I love the product. I don't necessarily like God's process. Amen? A lot of times God knows that faith requires a process, and if he gives you the product ahead of the process, the work inside of you is not gonna get done because the process is needed. And man, my flesh, my will, man, it loathes the process. Man, just give me the product, right? And it talks about how when we believe in the person and work of Jesus, that we enter certainly a product. Boy, we're saved. We enter a product. Man, we're transformed. We're children of God. There's a lot of products that come out of faith in Jesus, bam, upon belief. But between now and when all those promises are realized, there's a process of faith, right? Listen to what the Bible says in Romans 5. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Product. Through whom we've also obtained our introduction by faith into this grace, product, in which we stand, product, and we exult in the hope of the glory of God, product. Now it starts talking about the process. And not only this, but we also exult in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance, proven character, and proven character, hope. And hope does not disappoint. Let's finish it together. Because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. And so do you see the process? The process of introduction, all right? We make a commitment to Jesus. I'm praying for every person right now who doesn't know God through Jesus Christ that somewhere along the way in the next 5 weeks, maybe today, that you'll make a commitment and enter into this relationship with God through Jesus and enter into his grace. It's an awesome place to be. But guess what? Once you enter in and you get this introduction to faith through Jesus and you start a relationship with God, look what comes next. Tribulation. We go from introduction to tribulation. All of a sudden, our commitment that we made gets tested. Isn't that how relationships work? Any relationship that you have, the strength of the relationship requires testing to see if the relationship really is a relationship. Are you gonna bail or are you gonna stay? Are you gonna stay committed or are you gonna go, out, right? Are you gonna finish or are you gonna separate, right? And so we have introduction to relationship and commitment to Jesus, but then our commitment is tested and we don't like that process. I don't want my commitment to Jesus tested. I want all the products, but I don't want that process. Well, God's going, guess what? It's a process. It's a process of having your commitment tested. And then what I love about this passage is that it goes on to then transformation. As we begin to trust in the promises of God, in the midst of our relationship being tested, certain things begin to happen, right? And that tribulation brings about perseverance, and then that perseverance works its way into our character. We're going to talk about that. And then that proven character it starts giving us some hope. And the reason that we have hope is because our commitment was tested, we held on to faith, and now we have a real relationship. And that real relationship gives us hope. And then it says, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us, so we go from introduction to tribulation to transformation to then the relationship being validated and affirmed, we go to affirmation. On the backside of tribulation, wow. I mean, I've been married for 33 years. I have to say that our marriage has been tested. Our commitment has been tested. We have mental illness in our family. We have suicide times two in our family. We have lots of issues in our family that have tested our marriage. But can I just tell you something? I've gotten closer to my wife, and closer because of that commitment being tested by tribulation, and our marriage has been proven out, and now we're even closer, and my love for Chrissy and Chrissy's love for me, it's almost like it gets poured into our hearts. Did you know that that's how God feels? Whatever it is that you're going through, that He wants the process and He wants you to embrace it. You know, I love the Bible because it's honest. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 7 through 9, talks about the process. It says this, Paul is coaching up Christians, and he says, we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about the troubles we experienced in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure. Everybody say great pressure. Great pressure. We were under great pressure, listen to that pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired of life itself. Are you with me? Indeed, we felt we had received the sentence of death, but, and this is a big but of the Bible, all right? But, let's finish it together. This happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. Wow. I love three words. The first two words are we felt, right? Which means that there's a relationship with God, there's hope in God, commitments being tested, tribulation, and then it's like, but. So I felt despaired. I felt like I just wish God would take me. I felt as if, and some of you are feeling that way right now. It's just like you're alone. Something's going on. There's a repeating problem. You're feeling despair where you despair of life itself. You're just like, why am I even in this life? And then God wants you to hear this little word, and it's but. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead, and there's the gospel. The same God who left heaven, came to earth, died for your sin, and experienced the adversities and the tough times that we all experience on earth, and was crucified, that same God who took that adversity and created out of it redemptive salvation and hope and forgiveness for humanity, that same God is with you, and He's with you as these things are happening, and He wants you to persevere and make space for faith in your life, to commit to Him without knowing the future, to complete that commitment by taking some actions. And we're going to talk about what some of those actions are in the midst of these things going on. So what's the goal for the process? Write a couple things down. Expect the pressure. You may not like the pressure. You may not feel great about the pressure, but expect the pressure. At least Jesus was honest. He said, life will be like a bowling alley. Your best laid plans, those 10 pins, you're going to have them all up, and you're going to love how they're organized, and then life is going to come along and just go and knock them all down. It's not the life that you expected to live, but now it's the life God's calling you to live. What are you going to do with the life that God's calling you to live? Second, use the pressure. Now, if any of you have ever played sports or if any of you have coached sports, you realize that you have to use pressure for progress. Amen, athletes out there? Come on. You got to use pressure for progress. As a coach, you teach a skill, you talk about a play, but immediately you get your players into a game-type situation that puts the pressure on them because they have to execute what you're coaching them to do under pressure because that's what the real game is like. Let me tell you something. Jesus tells us what the real game is like. And a lot of times we just love the coaching and we like the instruction, but we don't want to live out what we believe under or in the pressure, which is the faith process. We just want the product. We just want to score without playing the game. And I need to hear that message just as much as you do and just as much as some of you out there online do. We got to play the game. We got to enter in. So expect the pressure. Use the pressure. You see, pressure, there's a high-stakes poker match going on for how you're going to respond to pressure, by the way. Satan, the dark one, the evil one, hopes that this pressure or tough times will attack your hope and attack your faith, and he can use that as a stumbling block to destroy your relationships with God and people. God, on the other hand, says, no, even though there's pressure, I can redeem pressure. I'm with you in the pressure. I want to use the pressure not as a stumbling block, but as a stepping stone, not to destroy you, but to develop you into the person that I created you to be, and I created you to be like my son, Jesus. High-stakes stuff, right? So expect the pressure, use the pressure, let God use the pressure, and then benefit from the pressure, right? Just as an athlete benefits from pressure and can actually use the force of defense to create offense, so can a Christian. A Christian can use the force of pressure, of life, of loss, of difficulty, of tribulation, if in faith they trust the promise of God and they can benefit from the pressure, and that's what I want to talk about next for a little bit. What happens if you don't give up? Well, the first thing that happens when you don't give up is you get more character. Write that down. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5, says, and not only this, but we also exult in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance, proven character. Everybody say proven character. Proven character. There's one thing to talk about character, but the only way that proven character comes about is if you go into the pressure and come out the other side, holding on to who you are and what you believe. Beliefs do not become convictions until you live them out in the open under pressure. We know that intuitively. We know that functionally. We know that practically. God's calling us to that. Can I just encourage you? Maybe just even a first step where it's just like, you know what? I want my character proved out. I gotta grab one of these workbooks. I gotta get into a group. I need to take a step of faith, all right? So what happens when you don't give up? You get more character. When I don't give up, also I get more maturity. I think we know this. All parents know this. You know, we don't just let our kids, you know, slide and avoid all conflicts and problems and obstacles if you're a good parent. You let them feel them. You let them experience them. You let them have to make choices in the pressure to hang in there and stay committed. We all know it's good for them. Is it good for us spiritually? Absolutely. So we get more maturity. Listen to what the Bible says in James chapter 1, verse 4. Let perseverance, there it is, hanging on, don't give up, finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Mature and complete requires pressure. Immaturity and incompleteness avoids pressure. And we know that intuitively. We know that as parents. We know that as coaches. God knows that as a loving father. So if we don't give up, we get more character. We get more maturity. Third, if we don't give up, we get more Christ-likeness. Listen to what the Bible says in 2 Thessalonians 3. It says, may the Lord direct your hearts into God's love. That feels good, don't it? Direct your hearts into God's love and Christ's perseverance. Oh, that part. I love the love. I'm not so sure I love the perseverance. But God's calling me to persevere. Why? Why is God calling you to persevere in faith and believe in spite of what you see and in spite of what you feel and in spite of the fears that what you see and feel create It's because he wants you to become like Christ. You see, Jesus persevered. We're going to talk about that later. Jesus persevered. We believe in his person and his work and his perseverance all the way to the cross. He lives in us. We reflect Jesus when we persevere. Want to know how I know Jesus lives in somebody? One of the ways I know is that they persevere. Why? Because Jesus persevered. He went against his feelings under pressure in the Garden of Gethsemane. He went against being overwhelmed. He went against the justice side of things to do the right thing for God and for us. And he said, yet not my will be done, but your will be done. Did he want to do it? No. In fact, in the Garden of Gethsemane, you see the only time Jesus confronted the will of God and didn't want to do it. But he persevered. He did anyway. That same Jesus lives in you. So if we don't give up right now, whatever's going on in your life, and we put faith in God and his promises, we get more character. We get more maturity. We get more Christ-likeness. A few other things. We get more blessing. Write that down. Anybody up for a little blessing? Come on, church. I want more of the touch of God in my life. I want more of the power of God in my life. I want more change. I want new character. I want better relationships. I want to know my future. I want to make sure that God is in my future. I want to walk in faith, and I want to experience the fullness of God. Everybody say the fullness of God. The fullness of God. I want to experience the fullness of God. Jesus said, I came that you might have life and have it abundantly, that you might have it to the fullest. I want that life. I want God's blessing. Listen to the connection between perseverance and blessing. As you know, it says in James chapter 5, we count as blessed those who have what? Persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion. So when you're in the midst of a situation that doesn't feel great, the facts are bad, the fear connected to what you feel and the facts is being created, we go to God and we say, hey, God, I know what I see and I know what I feel, and I know that there's fear welling up inside of me, but I know you, and you make a promise, and I'm going to see that promise right through to the end. And then we see what the Lord finally brings about. And when the Lord finally brings about his deliverance of the promise to your life, you're just like, man, I am so glad I didn't give up. You ever had that feeling where it's just like, man, I'm so glad I did that there. That was hard to do, but I did it, and I'm going to do it now. You know, that's the message of the Holy Spirit right now. There's temptation in your life to kind of cash in a relationship with God and just kind of sell out and kind of do what you want to do. But now God is drawing you back in, and you know that you know that you know that you need to persevere in this thing called faith, because you want to see what the Lord will finally bring about. Amen? I want to see what the Lord's finally going to bring about on all these things that haven't happened yet. They haven't happened yet. But I've been given promises, and I want to see him bring about what he has promised to me personally. God wants to bring more blessing into your life. If I don't give up, next, God brings more reward. Listen to what the Bible says in Hebrews 10. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has what? Promised. See, there is that connection of persevering in the face of the facts and in the presence of feelings that you don't like and in the presence of fears created by the facts and the feelings. And then you see this. You need to persevere so that when you've done the will of God in the middle of the fears and in the middle of facts that don't make sense and in the middle of feelings, you will receive what he has promised. You will receive. That's what God says. Now, the timing of you will receive is totally up to him, but his timing is perfect. Say this with me. God's timing in my life is perfect. Yeah, God's timing in my life is perfect. You know, just like parents know the timing with kids, grandparents kind of know. Well, grandparents don't know timing. They just give everything to the kids. But you know what I'm saying, right? Grandparents are like, timing. We had to worry about that with the first wave, right? But good parents know good timing. God knows good timing. And a lot of us here, stuff's getting proven out inside of us as we hold on and we make room for faith in our lives. Lastly, when I don't give up, God gives us more reward. It says, you need to persevere. When you've done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. And then in James chapter 1, it says, blessed is the one who perseveres under trial. Having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who loved him. So presently or ultimately, the reward is coming. You know, I have a problem with that ultimate reward. You know, I'd like the reward now. I'd like the blessing now. I'd like the... But guess what? God's timing is perfect. And he's going to reward you when it's most meaningful and where there is the most meaning. And a lot of times, the context of meaning is perseverance. Wouldn't you agree with that? You know, when you persevere and you go, man, I stayed, I fought the good fight, I finished the course, I kept the faith, like Paul says, now, this is going to have so much meaning. Can I just encourage you, if you've been in the waiting room for a while, when God delivers that, it's going to have the most meaning. Whatever it is that you're praying into, don't stop praying. Don't stop believing. But God's going to deliver reward and meaning at the same time. Lastly, when I don't give up, I get more credibility. You know, the Apostle Paul planted a lot of churches in a lot of places. And he went through a lot. And because he went through a lot, people saw a way of life when he was going through a lot that he was able to point to others, to show them what not giving up and believing God in the midst of the fire was like. He says this, you, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecutions, suffering. What kinds of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, the persecutions I endured, let's finish it together, yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. You know when the best time of your witness for Jesus is? It's not when life is a bowl of cherries or you're skating down the yellow brick road in ease and comfort. It's exactly when things are happening in your life and others are watching you grow through things in your life and you have a promise from God and you're holding on to that promise from God and you're saying, I know God. It's the same God who sent Jesus, who took this adversity and turned it into salvation for humanity. That's the God I trust. And so God's making me a promise now, and I'm holding on to that promise. Some of you are you're hanging on by your fingernails. And I'm just here to tell you that people are watching your faith in Christ. They know you're a believer. And God's equipped you with promises and his person and the power of the Holy Spirit to persevere. And that is credibility. Paul's pointing to how he responded to the tests of life. So what does faith against all hope look like right now, today? Three things, right, that we can do over these next 5 weeks. These are three things that we're going to commit to, and you're going to hear more from some other pastors, and they're going to add to this list. But number one, faith against all hope looks like not stopping believing. Write that down. Don't stop believing, all right? And there's like 80% of you that are channeling Steve Perry and Journey right now. I get it. That's what I did. I wrote that down. I'm like, don't stop believing. Can we read a verse of the Bible together? Mark 13, verse 13. Let's read it together. Ready? Everyone will hate you because of me, but the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. I circled in my own notes, stands firm, and I thought, I'm not going to look in the dictionary, I'm just going to define it myself. When I stand firm, I hold a space. Say that with me. Hold a space, right? So everybody who stands firm, Jesus says, right, to the end will be saved. Holding a space versus what? If I don't hold a space, I what? I abandon that space. Don't abandon the space. Make space for faith in your life. If you don't have faith in your life, make space for it. Don't abandon it. If you're a believer, continue to stand firm to the end. Plant that spiritual foot of yours and decide, I'm not going to give up that territory to fear and lies and destruction and stumbling blocks and choices that I know harm my relationships with God and people. Stand firm. Don't stop believing. In Hebrews 12, it says this, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, let's finish it together, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. There it is. Now, I know that maybe your faith muscles are feeling like fatigued. I know that some of you have been believing for certain things for a long time. I know that some of you have trusted God for things, failed yourself, and then you feel like, oh, that's just too far away and too distant for me. The Bible says the righteous person falls seven times but rises again. Can I tell you a truth, church? Stumbling is expected. Rising makes the believer. Stumbling is expected, but rising makes the believer. God doesn't expect you to live this one unalterable Christian life where you never fall. You know what the Christian life looks like? It looks like, wow, I got introduced to this faith. Woo! Uh-oh. And then you rise again. You're like, okay. And then, ooh. It just has all these little dips in it, all these little pressure times, all these little hard times where our faith is being completed. Don't stop believing, all right? Second, don't stop praying. Don't stop praying. You know, the devil loves an unpraying believer because they have access and authority through Christ to the throne of God that they don't use. So if you're Satan, you're like, great, they don't pray. Don't stop praying. Now, can I just correct some bad prayer thinking? And this is what it is. The bad prayer thinking is, God's in charge. God is good. God can do anything. So I'm just going to pray and just say, well, God, that's in your hands. I'll let you do what you do. That is not what the Bible teaches. Jesus said, the person who asks receives. The person who seeks will find, right? The person who knocks, the door will be open to you. And he makes that abundantly clear that God wants passion and persistence in prayer, not this, well, God, you're going to do whatever you're going to do, so I'm just going to say, well, just take this and then do whatever you want with it. How about we pray in line with God's desires and our hopes that are good and that are godly and that are aligned with loving him and people? Jesus says this in Luke 18, just kind of telling a story. He said, one day Jesus told his disciples a story to show that they should always pray. Everybody say, always pray. Always pray. They should always pray and never give up. There was a judge in a certain city, he said, who neither feared God nor cared about people. A widow of that city came to him repeatedly. Everybody say repeatedly. Repeatedly, saying, give me justice in this dispute with my enemy. The judge ignored her for a while, but finally he said to himself, listen, I don't fear God or care about people. But this woman is driving me what? Crazy. This woman is driving me crazy. I'm going to see that she gets justice. Who? The woman who's driving him crazy, right? I'm going to see that she gets justice because she is what? Wearing me out with her constant requests. Passion and persistence. Say that with me. Passion and persistence. One more time. Passion and persistence. That's how we're supposed to pray. One of the things I love about being on this staff team is that we pray with passion and persistence. We have a senior pastor who prays with passion and persistence in faith, no matter what's going on around him. I love being around people who pray with passion and persistence because that's what Jesus teaches. Don't stop believing. Don't stop praying. And third, if you want to exercise faith against all hope, don't stop doing good. Don't stop doing good. Don't stop believing. Don't stop praying. Don't stop doing good because you're going to be tempted under the pressure. You're just like, I'm just too tired to do that. I'm too tired to go to church. I'm too tired to turn on the online TV that I can sit in my own couch and watch service. Boy, the devil loves that, doesn't he? When we just kind of check out on God, we're just like, I'm going to check in, let the schedule take over, what's going on. Don't stop doing good. Because you're going to be tempted to stop doing good. You're going to be tempted not to serve. You're going to be tempted not to pick up a workbook after this service. You're going to be tempted not to do a Zoom call because Zoom, I'm so tired of Zoom. Right? You're going to be tempted. But the Bible says, don't stop doing good. That actually reflects faith against all hope. Yeah, exactly, because you are tired, right? The Bible says in Galatians chapter 6, verses 9 through 10, it says this, "Let us not become weary in doing what? Good, for at the proper time, we will reap a what? Harvest, if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers." So, everybody say this with me. Don't stop believing. Don't stop praying. Don't stop doing good. In the middle of all your pressures, are you believing? Are you praying? Are you doing good? Are you believing? Are you praying? Are you doing good? I know it's tempting. I know you're tired. I know things haven't come exactly on your timeline. I know that things are tough. But don't stop believing. Don't stop praying. And don't stop doing good. Why? Because Jesus didn't. You know what I love about Christianity? I love something that's a little counterintuitive. I love the fact that Jesus suffered. And the reason I love the fact that Jesus suffered is because I suffer. If Jesus didn't suffer, it would be hard to keep on believing and to keep on praying and to keep on doing good. I would let go, I'm sure, versus hang on. But the reason I don't let go is because Jesus did not let go of me. And you're listening out there, some of you, I just want to tell you that Jesus, even though you feel like you don't believe in God, it's okay. He believes in you. You might have let go of God, Christian, but God has not let go of you. You might have just written God off. God has not written you off. And all he asks for in this moment is that you don't let go of him. The Bible says this, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus didn't let go of you to the end, so that you wouldn't let go of him when things get hard. And if you're a believer, he lives in you. This is the same Jesus who said, "Yet not my will be done, but your will be done." Why? For the joy set before him. What's the joy set before him? Knowing you, being a part of your life, working with you right now in your loss, with missing pieces of your puzzle, with your trials and tribulations. Against all hope, he's with you. And you can fix your eyes on him. The Bible says in John 13, verse 1, he says, "It was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father." Let's finish it together. "Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end." Will you see it through? Jesus saw it through. He saw it through to the end for you. And if that doesn't grip your heart, I don't know what will. And so God, as we kick off this time together, this five-week journey, what do we want? We want to let God know that we believe. We want to let God know that in spite of everything that's going on, against all hope, we're fully persuaded that he's able to perform his promises right now in the midst of our right now life and right now challenges. And we're going to continue to obey God. We're going to continue to do good. We're going to continue to serve him. We're going to continue to serve his kingdom. We're going to continue to love him. We're going to continue to worship. We're going to continue to meet. We're going to continue to pray. We're going to continue to seek him with all our hearts. You want to do that for the next 5 weeks with me? Then let's bow our heads and let's commit to God. God, you're the hope of my life. Tell God that. God, you're the hope of my life. And you've given me a promise that the person who has the Son has life. And so, Lord, today I reaffirm my hope. I'm not giving up on you. I'm not giving up on your promises. I'm not giving up on your will. today, Jesus, I am believing in you. And my commitment is to believe to the end because you loved me to the end. I am believing in your purpose right now, even facing the facts. God, I'm facing the facts of my life and the things that I never expected, the losses I thought I'd never experience, the fractures of relationships that I thought would never happen, the habits I thought I would have beaten a long time ago. God, I'm facing the facts and I'm believing that A, you're with me, and B, you want to give me power and courage. So I'm holding on. I'm making space for faith in my life in the presence of my challenges. And God, I want the process. And I say that in faith. I'm gonna keep asking, gonna keep seeking, gonna keep knocking. I'm committed to living your way, and I'm committed to the test that the process brings. Fill me with your presence right now, because I need the courage that you offer. Help me to keep doing good. Help me to keep listening and living your way. And help me to keep worshiping you in the midst of the things that challenge me. I love you, and I thank you for your presence in my life. And God's people said,